Today's scripture is a popular scripture lesson for All Saints Sunday. It's found in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3, that can be found on page 978 in your pew Bible. Or if you're in your own Bible, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. Travis mentioned this last week, to be thinking about people who made a difference in our life for Christ. Hebrews 11 is kind of the chapter that outlines the heroes of the faith. I mean, everybody who you could imagine, they cram it into this chapter. And so then they come and they follow up with these verses. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to do something right now that my family is going to be shocked and wonder if I'm sick, because it's totally against my personality. But I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the children. And if you feel comfortable to holler a name out, then so be it. Who impacted your life for the sake of the gospel? Who taught you about Christ? All right, so let's do this. Raise your hand if you said grandma. Who else? Anybody specific? Grandparents are huge. Parents? Friends? An aunt? Wife? Sunday school teachers, right? Youth leaders, or UMYF leaders is what we used to call them. UMK leaders, right? Nobody said a pastor. Oh, did they? I heard a pastor. But pastors hopefully make a difference in our lives for Christ, right? Prayer partners, neighbors, co-workers. Would you call them a saint? I'll tell you what, I'd call my grandmothers a saint. I'd call the people that have taught me about Christ a saint. And sometimes we get lost in that term saint because we think of saint whoever from a Catholic perspective, but that's not what we're referring to. When we're talking about saints, we're talking about people who their walk with Christ was so real it made an impact on us. They were saintly, they were holy, they were godly, Christ-like people who made a difference in our lives. And our altar table this morning is just full of names. Just names, just of people that impacted our lives for Christ. Today is All Saints Sunday. It's the first Sunday in November. All Saints Day is November the 1st, which falls after All Hallows Eve or Halloween for us. And so it's a day that's lost because we have so much fun with Halloween. But on the first Sunday in November, churches around the world, not just Methodist churches, but churches around the world recognize these saints. These saints that have gone on before us from our local congregation, but all the saints that are listed in chapter 11 of Hebrews as well. The great cloud of witnesses. All Saints Day was a day that John Wesley loved. Matter of fact, he loved it so much, he wrote this in his diary. This is a day I truly love. It's pretty clear, isn't it? He loved the day. He said, I find it comfortable. And what he meant by that was he found it reassuring that all these great cloud of witnesses, they persevered hard times, they went through struggles, but they finished their race in a godly and a Christ-like way. A saint can be defined as a person acknowledged as holy or virtuous, typically regarded as being in heaven after death, a person who is admired because of their virtue. A Christian believer. So let's think back to the list that we shouted out a little while ago. Could you use those terms to define that person that's sitting in your mind and on your heart right now? I sure can. I can think about two uncles that struggled and eventually won their fight with cancer. You'll never hear me say that a Christian lost their fight, because when there's victory in Jesus, how can you lose? I can remember grandmothers who were so deeply in love with the church and Christ that it not only impacted their kids, that then impacted us, but they taught it straight to us as grandchildren. I can think back to the lay leader of my local church who, even though he was suffering, never wavered in his faith and took care of things his family had no idea he was taking care of. I've struggled this week to prepare this sermon. I even told Stacy, she texted, asked how my day was going. I said, I have stared at my work for an hour and accomplished nothing. Because I can also remember the love and the acceptance of a father-in-law and the things that he taught me. And he may not have used the word Christ, and he may never have quoted scripture to me, but he did something better than that. He lived it. So the question then is, what about us? Will people be able to say that about us? I made a comment half jokingly that we don't shout for victory in church anymore, but church, that's the truth. We've become so complacent in our worship, it's like we think because we had godly parents and grandparents, we're going to get to heaven because we come to church once every 6 weeks. It doesn't work that way. We've been called to be godly, holy, set aside, sanctified people for the work of the kingdom. I can teach my son how to cut grass. I can teach him how to chip golf balls in the house without getting caught by your mom. I can teach him how to tell funny jokes. Y'all got that one. I can teach him all sorts of things. But on the day that a church lights a candle in my name, if he can't say he saw Christ in me, I failed as his father. Because God has given us no greater responsibility than to teach each other and our children about our Savior. All Saints Sunday. The great cloud of witnesses, the Apostle Paul, Abraham, Mary, Martha, Dee, Richard, Glenn, Odell, Trudy and Lawrence, George, dozens of names up here. The cloud of witnesses isn't just them. We're to be that witness for others. You may not think of yourself as a saint, and there's a handful of us, myself included, we're probably not. But one day, these children, they will light a candle in our honor. They may shed a few tears because we took the time to teach them about Christ. We took the time to pray for them, to love each other. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Some of your translation says so easily entangles us, because we get tripped up by the sin in this world. So easy to do. But church, we can't lose sight of, we can't lose the thought that we're surrounded by people that have endured the faith. since the beginning of time. They're with us always because of the power of the Holy Spirit. When we gather and pray and we gather and worship, when we come to the Lord's table, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They are in our presence some mysterious way. I'm not going to get into my theology of heaven, but I know this, they're there. And here's how I know. In the Apostles' Creed, we say we believe in the communion of saints. That means we believe in the fellowship of believers now and the believers of the past. Those before Christ and those after Christ. In our communion liturgy, see, we rush through the Apostles' Creed and our communion liturgy and we miss the power and the beauty of it that could transform our lives. But we say this, we join in their unending hymn. Well, who is there? It's the communion of saints. It's the great cloud of witnesses. We're joining in their hymn because they're already standing in the presence of the Father. Y'all remember that old song, Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In? Who are they talking about? They're talking about the great cloud of witnesses. You know what my favorite line of that song is? Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. I don't want to be left out of that. You mean to tell me one day I can leave all this pain and all this struggle and all this argument and bitterness and Facebook and Twitter behind and I can stand in almighty worship of the God and creator of the universe and each and every one of us? I want to be in that number. So forgive me for being excited in church because I want God to get the worship he deserves. It's a common belief in the Orthodox Christian churches that we're to be saintly, but we're also surrounded by our loved ones and the biblical heroes that we read about. We sing when we all get to heaven, and everybody's been to a funeral where that song's been sang, right? Did you even notice how verse 4 starts? Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty we will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. And then we shall tread the streets of gold. Could someone look at your life and say those things about you? Could they say those things about this church? It's more than a once a month, 1 hour a week kind of thing. This is a process of struggling with each other, with laughing with each other, with wrapping your arms around each other, with helping each other carry the burdens of life. Because one day, whether we like to admit it or not, somebody's going to light a candle and call out our name. None of us are going to escape that unless the Lord comes before. But when they light a candle, what are they going to say about us? I want to be in that number. And I got a long way to go before I can ever get to a point where somebody could say that about me. But I want to be in that number. If you would please grab your communion liturgy.